David Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Bill Gallagher, who's a scaling and growth expert, CEO, serial entrepreneur, keynote speaker, podcast host, strategic planner, and business coach. Bill, is there anything you haven't done?
Yeah, I haven't sung on stage yet.
Oh, maybe we can fix that here. But anyway, welcome to the show, Bill. I really appreciate you being here and really looking forward to this conversation. I've been an admirer of yours for a long time and the work that you do. So you've done so much, and I'm grateful that you're taking the time to share a little bit with our listeners. So I know that you're a scaling and leadership coach now, and you do a lot in that area. And I just wanted to start the conversation by asking you to think about or share some ideas that you've seen from your experience about why many small businesses struggle with growing and scaling their businesses.
Well, so the biggest thing, I think, after years of working with so many companies, like literally thousands of companies now all over the world, every sector, I do a fair amount of tech, but not just tech. Like, so all these companies, there is one common thing I see that differentiates the big scale ups from the rest. And it's this, it's ambition. It's not like just like unbridled ego, but a particular vision for the company to grow and do something significant. And you really don't need to. Like, you could create a great, beautiful small business operating in a particular area, but growth, you asked about, what separates that? And that's like 100x kind of thinking, be number one in the world, something like that. And I think about one story frequently pops up, husband and wife couple in a tech business. They've been running a consulting company, doing some tech work in Silicon Valley, Sunnyvale. And they reached out to me, recommended by their Vistage chair, shout out to Vistage, and said, you should get a scaling coach. And this Bill Gallagher guy looks interesting. So they called me and they said, would you come down and look at our company and our tech and see if you could help us scale? I went down. They're like 24 people, and they demoed their technology, which I thought was cool. Like, oh, I'm like, okay, that's an interesting thing. I think that makes the world a little bit better. And then they said, we want to be number one in the world for our category. I'm like, okay, that's a game to play. I'm on board. You know, they had some humility, but they had this big goal. Like, they're like, this thing we think makes the world better, and we want it to be number one in the world, you know, because it's that, not because we need private jets or whatever. Right. And I'm like on board. So we worked with them for a couple, 3 years. And then when I last left them, they had just kind of crossed the mark of being number one in the world. They were embedded in products from BMW to Mercedes to GoPro to Alexa to like all kinds of things all over the place, audio related. And not in the Apple and Google products, but in just about everything else you could think of. And so there they are. And you know, they go from a couple of dozen people to hundreds of employees around the world. And I love that. Like, it's clean. It's because they said, like, we want to do one thing. And I think about, like, I spent some time trying to grow a company some years ago that my wife had started, and I came in a period of crisis, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to grow it. And I created a great goal, like an inspiring goal to like the next big number. And it was about three times the size. And we worked really hard for about 6 years until we get knocked back by a recession. And then now we're looking at, oh, we might close, we might go out of business. So this time we did some work to kind of get on the other side of it to start to reverse the trend. But then, having figured out something interesting, I said, okay, now let's play a game to be a $250 million company. And we didn't hit $250 million, but we started doubling like every year for a while. And we went on to sell quite a bit. And the difference was that kind of 100X kind of thinking. 10X is for sure gets you in the game. But the difference between trying to double your company and 10X the company is everything. You start thinking transformationally. You start thinking exponentially. It's not all just incremental improvements to the core business to get a little bit better. that doesn't produce a breakthrough. So if you do want a breakthrough, if you do want to be number one in the country, your region, the world, you want to hit a billion like that, you there's some bigger thinking involved.
So Bill, you brought us some really powerful concepts here, and I just want to explore a few of those ideas in some more depth. So one of those is the idea of ambition. And it feels like that's a little bit different than goal setting because or planning the way that we traditionally think about in our businesses. So what's the difference between, you know, that kind of 10x, 100x ambition and what I might say is I want to plan to grow, you know, and just a generalized plan to grow. What do you see as that kind of the essence of what's required there?
Well, you can create a detailed plan to go to the supermarket and do your shopping. Like you could create a step-by-step plan and marshal the equipment and the crew required for that journey. Or you could plan a never done before expedition to some remote part of the world. They both require planning. One fires up people's imagination, frightens them a little bit, but scares them with its audacity. One gets a weekly chore done. So they both require planning. You could plan your way through whatever, but if you don't take on something big, nobody's going to get excited about it, including you.
Yeah. So it's something that has to challenge you, scare you a little bit, and it kind of gets you out of your comfort zone and kind of takes you to another place or another level. You know, in your experience, what kind of people do that? Is that something that everybody's capable of? Is it just a few rare people? Do you have to be born with this innate ambition, you know, to
well, kind of get there? So there's a couple of interesting works outside of business that I think are worth looking at. And a lot of times, some great works outside of business realm have been really helpful for me in this regard. There's a quote by a guy named Daniel Burnham, who was an architect and urban planner, kind of in the beginning of modern urban planning. He did this, the Columbia Exposition and the master plan for the city of Chicago after the Great Fire. And he said something roughly akin to make no small plans, for they have little power to stir men's blood and will not in themselves be realized. Like make big plans, like aim high. And there's something about that. And we see that again and again when Kennedy stood before the country and said, we choose to go to the moon, right? We were like, holy crap, human beings are going to be on the moon. And we're interested in that kind of thing. The book Endurance, the story of Shackelford's Antarctic journey, and is fascinating. Like it's so intense and so like unbelievably difficult that it actually is kind of interesting. I read a book and met this guy Dean Karnazes, who started running 100 mile and beyond, like 300 mile foot races, right? And I'm like, holy crap, I was so excited about what a human being is capable of, I started running marathons. And for me, that was my 10X to go from the couch to marathons and triathlons. But it was hearing that example and like, take on something extraordinary, you know, play a big game, swing for the fences. One of the things that I've most admired about both my kids is they do this. They're in their 20s now. And in each successive thing, my daughter's like, oh, I'm going to go pitch this old big brand company about starting a new business within their unit. And I called this artist, I'm working with this one. And I just love how she's swinging for the fences and reaching and working with amazing people at the age of 24. You know, it's a little frightening sometimes. She left high school before a year was out and went on tour with a guy who went on to be the like emerging new artist of the year that year. Like was a powerful influence on her life. And my son has always looked for like world changing problems. He's like, what is something that like we could do that's worth doing, like fix something or disrupt something and do something in a new powerful way. And he's currently the chief, I'm going to say it wrong exactly, but the principal research scientist for an AI company. So he does the AI development for a company called Midjourney. And his thing is like, art shouldn't be relegated to people who can draw. Anybody should be able to make art just by their ideas. That was the thing that propelled him to start dabbling in AI art, right? And now Midjourney's at this point the number one AI art business in the world.
Wow, so many big ideas, Bill. That's a powerful concept. So, you know, what if you're a person that hasn't thought that way in the past, or I guess, what is it that keeps many of us from thinking that way? Is it, you know, is it lack of imagination?
It's totally fear. Fear. It's playing okay. safe. 100% it's fear. And there's two kinds of things. Like, one is, I don't want to fail and look stupid and look foolish, right? And the other is, what if I succeed and I'm just overwhelmed? And I'm not a measure for this thing. And then going hand in hand with that is like comfort and complacency, you know? Netflix is awesome. The couch is lovely.
Yeah.
Uber Eats will deliver you food. Like, there's instant gratification and, you know, like whatever you want.
Right.
The internet now satisfies all manner of desires on an instantaneous basis.
Right. So you really don't have to try very hard if you don't want to, right?
And you're afraid of looking stupid, afraid of being rejected, afraid of failing, and afraid of being like overwhelmed with and being uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that keeps us from it. I was just having a deep conversation with a few friends last week about the concept of imposter syndrome and this idea that, you know,
I don't belong here.
Yeah. You don't belong here. I shouldn't have these big ideas. I shouldn't want this kind of new life. I shouldn't go try to sell this big company on this big idea. I'm not worthy of that kind of thing. Do you see those kind of issues coming up in your work with leaders as well?
Well, I'll share one of my own, right? So it's interesting as I'm talking about this, I realize fear dominates so much. And we talk about the big, hairy, audacious goal. And one of the defining characteristics of that is it should scare you a little, like scare you in a positive way. So I could be afraid and on the couch, or I could be afraid and doing something bold, and I could be afraid of something in reaction and by default, or I could create some fear for myself, you know, like standing at the edge of the high jump. And when I started coaching about 10 years ago, full-time, I coached for about 8 years before, but when I went full-time as a coach for CEOs and leadership teams around growth, I dabbled with a little bit, but I started then to think about, okay, how long do I want to work? I think I want to work to about 8 years. And then what's a number that I want to, an impact that I want to have before I retire? And so I said, I want to help 5 million business leaders before I retire. And that just seemed outrageous given the small number of teams I coached and the workshops, and like, it was just unbelievable breakthrough. And then somebody said to me, instead of having a blog or trying to create a breakthrough book right away, why don't you do something that you're already know how to do, and that's get on the radio and do a podcast. So I started podcasting some years ago, and it was like really easy for me because I had a background both as a DJ and as a radio executive. So like, I could be on the mic. I'm not afraid of the sound of my voice. You know, I could talk. And this year I'll go over 1 million. And then this year I started to look at the work that I've done in different sectors. And I realized that there was an opportunity to take everything I've learned from the pandemic and from the early stage coaching, and then create what I hope to be the biggest growth coaching program in the world. And I'm like, I looked at what Tony Robbins and other people are doing. I said to myself, I'm going to create something bigger than Tony Robbins. And so we designed this year our Growth Navigator coaching program. And I'm out to put thousands of companies in that program, and I've designed it so that I can collaborate with lots of coaches against the common framework of scaling up. But it's not all just me, and I could create something that is. Tony Robbins' program is different. Ours will be different because they could include like solopreneurs and, you know, startup kinds of people. And we're only interested in people, you know, after 10 employees when they're really trying to build an organization. So for people that want to build an organization, we're out to create that. And I'm creating something that frightens me.
Wow.
Like, oh my God, how do I create a thing that's running on multiple continents at once? And you know, we just started the program, and I have people now in Australia and the UK interested in launching partner programs.
Wow. That's so exciting. You know, what you're talking about reminds me of a concept from a book I read a long time ago called Think and Grow Rich, which
Napoleon Hill.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So from the 1930s, And this one concept that stuck out for me is that, you know, when you focus on a goal, your mind can come up with solutions and ideas and ways to achieve that goal. If you don't focus on the goal, then you'll never go anywhere. And what you're talking about strikes me as a huge example of that, where if you focus on the being a like small consulting firm that does great work and solves people's problems, that's a wonderful thing. But if you focus on your other BHAG goal of reaching 5 million, your mind starts to come up with completely
other ways,
solutions. Yeah.
Yeah. And let me notch that up a bit. You're not going to do anything huge, extraordinary, planet altering on your own. You will do some extraordinary things. I did a podcast episode a couple of years ago with a friend of ours who did this first ever sail around the world twice in a figure eight pattern. And I talked to him by satellite phone as he was sailing alone around Antarctica. But even his solo record setting journey was supported by a team of people at home and before and after that helped him to do that. So he was making it, but he still, and so if you're not going to do anything huge on your own, you got to get good at attracting, inspiring, engaging, and leading people. And that thing that you said about Napoleon Hill, like you, until you take something big, your mind's not going to grapple it. Actually, all our minds, when I think about some of my biggest business accomplishments, they didn't happen with my brilliance. And I think I'm pretty smart, but I'm not nearly as smart as all of us. So all of us working together on something within a team will come up with all kinds of solutions to things that I couldn't think of on my own.
Yeah. So let's dig into that a little bit further, because it seems like a lot of us could come up with a BHAG or say, I want to grow 10X or 100X
yep.
and start to think about that and internalize that and focus on it. But many of us don't know how, right? We just don't know how. And it sounds like you're talking about one of the things you've got to do is attract, inspire, engage, lead people. But what is it? What is the way to kind of get there to a place where you know how and you're going in the right direction? And that BHAG is actually maybe still scary, but can be achieved. How
okay.
do you get there?
A couple things first about the BHAG. So if you have a financial goal, like 100 million, a billion, something like that, nobody really wants to help you hit that except your spouse and, you know, shareholders. But most people aren't going to participate in the big financial upside with a lot of wins, at least the way we run things today in most companies. So unless you were to change that, nobody cares. And then it's always a small number, like your customers, partners don't necessarily want you to win that goal. Members of the press don't want you to win that goal. So the first thing to do is to take whatever the goal is and make sure it's impact oriented, purpose centered. So if what lights me up is helping leaders fulfill what they care about, and I love that leaders are doing things to make the world better, then my helping leaders build a better world is the focus. And my BHAG, my big, hairy, audacious goal, Jim Collins term for something scary and transformational, is about helping leaders. So I create 5 million business leaders. Now that number and the size of that number is really important. And here's the balance. It's big enough for your ego. Really, it's like there's an ego drive, and ego's not all bad. Ego drives us to do some things. An unchecked ego creates some issues. But a little bit of ego is really helpful. So it's big enough for me to say proudly to people, this is what I'm working on. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm working on this. And it's big enough to say that and to feel like this is worth giving my career to, like the second half or the final chapter of my career. I'm worth doing that to reach 5 million, help 5 million business leaders, look back and say, I did that, and some money will come along with that. The balance, though, is it's not absurd. So I didn't say 5 billion, because there aren't 5 billion business leaders on the planet.
Right.
It's not absurd, which is the difference between President Kennedy standing before the nation and saying, we're going to go to the moon, and a guy in a diner saying, yeah, we should go to the moon. He represents this hypothetical guy in the diner represents nothing and no resource, whereas the other represents the power and might of the United States at that moment in time. Same thing true with like Elon Musk, a transformational and controversial CEO entrepreneur. But when he says we're going to be a multiplanetary species, like you have to sit up and take notice. And you know, they're getting ready to launch that rocket again, that one, the Mars rocket, lunar rocket. And it, like everything else, it's going to change things in a profound way. And you might hate a lot of aspects about him, but there's no doubt about that he's changing things.
Yeah. So big goals, a vision.
Yes.
Ways to
not make absurd.
Not absurd.
Big not enough absurd. Worth doing. And then you get your money in the process. You'll get some financial reward. You will inspire and attract people who want to play that kind of a game and who aren't going to start it themselves, but would love to be a part of being a multiplanetary species or helping 5 million business leaders, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to bring us back to an issue that you and I talked about before the call. And one of those is that if you set up this vision and you start to move in this direction, you've got the big goal, that in some ways you may lose yourself or give up your core values or who you are or your family, or kind of give everything up. So
that goes back to that fear in the beginning.
Lead a large organization. So what is that about? And do you see, is that an issue that you deal with and working with leaders?
So I had a personal realization about this really early on in my career, a couple really, but one that stands out. And I was on vacation in Mexico, considerably hungover at the age of 27, roughly. And I got some message or something, and I had to deal with something with my job. And at the time, I had started a new part of Sprint's business, and I'd grown it over $550 million, and it was the bulk of the operating profit for the overall company, even though it was a small bit of the dollars and minutes. It was super critical. And I had to make a decision about something or handle something that day. And in my hungover state, I had this realization. Oh, shit. Pardon the language. I'm responsible today for $1.67 million in this state at this age. And actually, at that age, I didn't think that I was that preciously young, because, you know, whatever you are, you think it's whatever you think. But now looking back at it, I'm like, oh, I was 27 and I was responsible for that. And I had a whole lot of influence over some important things. And yet I'm just a kid in my 20s drunk on vacation. That's a useful realization. Then I started to think about the chairman of our company at the time, and he had a family and he had health issues and he had passions. He was very bright and very driven. But he was a human being, you know, like the rest of us. He had fears and doubt, and he had to go to the bathroom, you know, more than once a day. And like we have to eat, we have to sleep. We're human beings. So get this. Elon Musk, pick whatever leader, world leaders, political leaders, they all are human beings and sometimes a little too human, right? And they all have the same 24 hours a day that you do. And you and I have the same issues, the same human constraints that all these people do. Now, they might have a little more drive than you do. They might be smarter or dumber, but they're still human. So you could lead a global movement, an organization, a company, a country, and still be a human and still have a life and still have relationship issues. There's a difference in leading when you scale, when you go from a dozen people to 70 people to 100 people, and then you go to hundreds of people and thousands of people, and you work with many thousands of people, or even beyond to millions of people. When you lead that kind of thing, you just go from leading individually, one-on-one, directly, to leading by influence. So now your ideas and your values and your operating principles, all of these things actually become really critical now as you scale, and you want the organization to still look like and feel like something that you designed, you intended.
So you've got to spend more time, more focus on those core values and influencing people through that, through your vision, and by less time doing the mechanics of running the business. Is that
so? Growing your company, we say there's people, strategy, execution, cash, the four decision areas of scaling up. And as a leader, I think there are four skills that scale, really. So we start in the beginning, even in a startup stage, needing to inspire ourselves and the people around us. So the first thing is that BHAG, the inspiration, the vision for something that you care about, that you're willing to put some blood, sweat, and tears in, right? Throw your passion, your time into. That's the inspiring part. But then you have to engage people. People have to know they're part of it. So you have to get people to say yes, to buy things, to work with you, to partner with you, all that kind of thing, to write about you, talk about you. So that engaging part connects an original inspiration to the personal opportunity. So why would you want to work with me, buy from me, like whatever? When I get masterful at connecting that from one to another, I get really good. And that's not about the pitch. It's about me knowing and noticing other people. And then there's planning coordination. We talk about that a lot in scaling up and in other things. We've talked about that here, like you're planning against the scale of something, looking at what could go wrong and so on. The last piece, though, is coaching. And I say the leader as coach is all about the fundamental function, I would assert, for coaching is keeping people in the game. So if you're on my team and you're dealing with setbacks and things like that, I want to keep you in the game, but also leveling up towards the eventual vision, the BHAG of the company. So those are the things that scale. And then I go from working individually to working with leaders of leaders of leaders, right? And I've created a movement that could span the globe and affect people that I'll never know.
Wow. Bill, you've clearly done this before. You've clearly coached leaders of leaders, and you've got a powerful vision and a methodology for helping people get there. I really love what you said at the end about being a leader and coaching others and how you're leveling them up and helping them get the skills to really stay in the game. And that's challenging for me right now as I think about our leadership team and where we're going. So I really appreciate that insight. What about getting coaching for leaders? Because that's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
So I coach leaders. How do leaders accept coaching, and how should they accept coaching in order to kind of be better at what they do for vision, leadership, communication? What's that all about?
So in the sports world, it's really obvious, right? Everybody knows they need a coach. It's just part of the game. But in the business world, it's less obvious. And although now with the book about the $1 trillion coach and conversations with lots of senior leaders realizing that many business leaders have coaching, the next thing to give up is that the coach needs to have done what you would like to do. So get that Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and any number of other peak elite number one athletes in their day had a coach who had never done what they were about to do or did.
Yeah.
And yet in business again and again, we're like, well, I only want to be coached by somebody who knows my industry and who led a company that was bigger than mine. BS. It's all nonsense. That doesn't matter. You need somebody who understands the game enough to coach you. So I can't have somebody coach me in tennis who's only played soccer and doesn't know, you know, a little ball and a racket versus a big ball and a shoe. Different games, right? So I need to know the fundamentals, and then I need to stand for you winning. And I need to have enough personality style fit that you're willing to empower me, to listen to me as your coach. So the first thing is the basics of the game. Know business, right? We're talking about business here, really. And the second thing, like, know some basics. And in fact, I would assert that it's really useful not to be tied to an industry. If you get a real estate coach to work on your real estate business or a whatever, pick any other industry and get an industry specific coach, they're going to give you solutions and approaches that have worked in that industry. And you're never going to break out. So get a coach. I that's why I work this way. You could work with somebody who's that kind of industry specific, but you're going to be always within that sphere of influence. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, the coach really has to stand for you and want you to win. So you want to get that this coach is really out for you to win. They're not just, you know, putting you through their typical program and taking your money or whatever, but you can feel that they want you to win, that their purpose is fulfilled by you fulfilling your purpose. And then that last thing is there's enough personality fit. Now, that doesn't mean you're the same type. So I've had people hire me and love working with me because I was so different from them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's actually better, but they chose that. They're like, wow, you're much more flexible and playful, and I'm very constrained and focused on the numbers and the plan, and you're focused on the people and the strategy, and you're kind of fluid and playful with it, and I could use that. So the style fit is not a style match. It's a style fit to your particular need, right? Could be a little bit, there could be some polarity there. But you got to empower them. And I've had people say, look, Bill, we can't work with you because it's really uncomfortable the way you're so irreverent. You drop the F-bomb like, you know, many times. We can't be with that. I'm like, okay, you should. Here, I'm going to suggest some other coaches for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really strong ideas. I was thinking about your sports analogy. I was thinking about Ted Lasso. Just finished the series. You watched Ted Lasso?
Yeah, here's
a football coach going to England to be a soccer coach, right? So totally different. Yeah. He comes in and inspires, engages, builds trust, and kind of turns an organization around. And it kind of illustrates some of what you're talking about. But
he's that feel-good, aw shucks, American, particularly American-styled positivity, slightly naive, but ultimately wise coach. Yes.
Yeah. Which,
and if you're a Simpsons fan, he's definitely Ted Landers brought to life.
Right. He's kind of what the organization needed at the time. It helps that there was a script writer who put the whole story together, but
it's charming and uplifting. And we certainly, that was a key thing to watch during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bill, it's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Challenged me to think differently about my business. And I think you'll challenge a lot of people to think differently about their businesses. BHAG goals, change the world, and build a great team. Lots of so many good ideas here. Bill, if people want to engage
with you so much,
learn more about you and how they might be able to work with you, how would they do that?
Yeah. Scalingcoach.com is my website. Scalingcoach.com, not too hard to remember. It's like scaling up, but it's a scaling coach, scalingcoach.com. And I do a podcast, Scaling Up Podcast, every week, a couple episodes. We have webinars coming up. We've got growth navigating. We've got coaching for kind of every level of company. So whatever stage you're at, I could recommend something for you. And so we got stuff.
Perfect. Thanks again. Really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much.